So far, this series covering unsolved disappearances from the southern United States has been nothing short of tragic. The amount of cases I am being recommended and the amount I am stumbling upon myself truly breaks my heart. It is almost unfathomable to think so many people disappear daily, even in the age of cell phones. In today's episode, I am going to be covering some truly tragic and unsolved disappearances from the state of Georgia. This was the most voted state on the last poll I asked in the community tab, and I am pretty interested in seeing what cases I can find in this state. I have never really focused on Georgia before, so this will be a first for me on the channel. If you have a case from the southern United States that you would like to see me cover, comment them down below. I would love to know what you got to share. Now, without further hesitation, let's get into these unsolved cold cases from Georgia. Number 1. The Strange Disappearance of Timothy J. Guy. This first case comes from the North Georgia region, Forsyth County to be exact. Forsyth County lies within the Atlanta metropolitan area and has a population of roughly 244,000 residents. To start this story though, we need to jump back to 1987. Timothy J. Guy had recently moved out of his family's home in Snellville, Georgia, and had taken up residence in Forsyth County. Timothy had found work as a stable hand at the Sleepy Fox Farm, which is now a defunct horse ranch. This ranch was only about 25 miles from his family's home. Now, there are not too many details surrounding the timeline of Timothy's disappearance. I will do my best to piece together what happened for you guys. From what I could find, Timothy was last seen sometime around 9 p.m. on February 7, 1987. He was apparently preparing to go to his parents' house out in Snellville for the weekend. Timothy was not alone, according to coworkers. They claimed to have seen Timothy with an unknown Caucasian man simply known as Jeff. Jeff was around 5'10" and somewhere around 180 pounds with a big-boned muscular build. This man had brown hair and a beard. He drove a 1972 or a 1974 Chevrolet Impala. Timothy's co-workers went on to mention they saw the two get into Jeff's car and never saw them again. Now, this is of course an unsettling part, as no one seems to know who this Jeff fellow is, if that is even his name at all. The Sleepy Fox Farm manager called Timothy's family on the 9th, 2 days after he was last seen. The manager had informed his family that he had not come into work that day, and they were concerned. Timothy's family would go on to confirm that he never arrived at their home in Snellville, and filed a missing persons report. Not too much more can be found for this case, or if a search was done. Now, I did find that Timothy's family passionately believes he had witnessed something he was not supposed to, and was killed to make sure he stayed silent. Foul play is highly suspected in this case. If you or anyone you may know has any information on this case, please be sure to contact Forsyth County Sheriff's Office at 770-781-2222. Number 2. The Odd Vanishing of Alan Lee Morse. This next story takes place in Austell, Georgia, in 1989. Austell is in Cobb County, which is also part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Austell is a small town consisting of about 6,600 people. The area is known for its hunting. People travel all over the state to hunt the game in Austell. Alan Lee Morse and his family lived in Austell at the time. Alan was employed as an air traffic controller for the United States Navy and was stationed at the Naval Air Station in Bermuda. In October 1989, Alan came home to visit his family while on leave. At the end of his leave, he was scheduled to return to Bermuda. Once that time came, Alan told his mother that he would be back to visit her at Christmas. He then left and was thought to be on his way back to Bermuda. That night, though, Alan's family would get a call from the base saying he never arrived. This is where things began to get a bit strange. According to Alan's parents, he had told each other that the other parent would drive him to the airport to return to Bermuda. He had also apparently confided in a friend, saying that he was not happy in the Navy and was thinking about running away from it all. The Navy personally believes he went AWOL, but have declared they will not prosecute him if he ever reappears. The Morse family have hired a private detective, and this detective discovered Alan had visited a friend after his October 1989 disappearance. Now take this with a grain of salt, as this cannot be proven. But according to his friend, they dropped Alan off at a bus stop and never seen him ever again. For whatever reason, the police refused to file a missing persons report for Alan Morse. It took several years to get a report filed, as there was no foul play in obvious sight. In 2007, nearly 20 years after Alan was last heard from, the police filed a report. Alan's family has said that it is not characteristic of him. He is not known to leave without warning. He had a close relationship with his relatives and friends. His father still holds hope his son is hiding in fear of being prosecuted for desertion. Alan was just 19 years old at the time of his disappearance. Alan was 6 feet, 2 inches tall, and weighed around 155 pounds. He has brown hair and brown eyes. This case remains unsolved and could use any help you may have. Please contact Cobb County Police Department at 770-499-3900. Number 3. The Tragic Abduction of Alicia Smiley. This next story I wanted to cover in this episode is the truly tragic disappearance of Alicia Smiley. This case, just like the other two so far, takes place in the Atlanta, Georgia area. One thing we all know by now is that people can vanish in a crowded city without a notice in the blink of an eye. 3-year-old Alicia Smiley would unfortunately fall into that trap. Alicia was last seen sometime around 1:45 p.m. on June 6, 1985 in Atlanta, Georgia. She was sitting on a bench outside of the Omni International Hotel on Techwood Drive. For unknown reasons, Alicia's aunt, Estella Evans, left her and her 4-year-old cousin alone while attempting to buy wrestling tickets some distance away. Some have speculated that Alicia may have wandered off to the nearby McDonald's shortly after her aunt left. According to Estella, when she returned to the bench, Alicia was nowhere to be found. An extensive search was conducted throughout the city, but from what I was able to find, nothing really came of these searches. Alicia, consequently, has never been heard from again. Alicia Smiley was born in Birmingham, Alabama. She had lived with her aunt Estella Evans and her husband off and on since birth. Her parents were just financially unable to support her. She had been living with her aunt for 8 months before disappearing. Alicia had been described as being very friendly and trusting. Atlanta Police Department received a tip that Alicia may have been taken to the Lakewood Fairgrounds area sometime after her disappearance. The area was searched, but no evidence was found on the scene. Alicia's case remains unsolved and could use any help you may have. If you or anyone you may know has any information about this case, please contact Atlanta Police Department at 404-853-3434. Number 4. We are once again covering a case from the Atlanta area. This probably does not come as much of a surprise, as larger cities tend to have higher amounts of unsolved cases. This next story takes place in 2002 in the heart of Atlanta, Georgia. 24-year-old Michael Way was a father of 4 children and brother to 3 siblings. Sadly, like many of the other cases here, there are not many verifiable details to share. From what I could find, Michael was last seen walking in the 1900 block on the Southeast Fisher Road in Atlanta on March 25th, 2002. After this, he would never be heard from again. The story would end here until about 2011, though, when investigators seemingly at random announced that they believed Michael had been killed and they had identified more than a dozen suspects. A couple of these suspects had close ties to Michael Way. Atlanta authorities stated that Michael was abducted from the 2200 block on Cary Drive. He had just left his children's mother's home. He was taken to an undisclosed location and then killed. According to authorities, his body was buried somewhere in the woods near the Old South Bend Historic Cemetery on Forest Park Road. A body, however, was never found, and authorities would go on to say they were anticipating arrest within the coming days. No arrests were ever made, though, and all the searches of the cemetery and surrounding areas turned up nothing of value. In 2010, Michael's mother died 8 agonizing years later after her son disappeared. Unfortunately, this case remains unsolved. If you, or anyone you may know, has any information that may help further this case, please contact the Atlanta Police Department at 404-853-4235. You can, of course, remain 100% anonymous. Number 5. Where are Paula and Brandon Wade? The last case I'll be sharing with you all today comes from Valdosta, Georgia. Unlike the others, this case involves two people who mysteriously disappeared. 25-year-old mother Paula and her 3-year-old son Brandon were enjoying their day at home. They lived at the common apartments in Valdosta, Georgia. They would last be seen around their apartment on October 14, 2002. A missing persons report would be filed after Paula never showed up for work at the local Sam's Club. A bit worried, one of Paula's co-workers visited her apartment twice looking for her. They never found any sign of Paula or her son, Brandon, anywhere in the home. Oddly enough, Paula's 1998 Chevrolet Blazer was found parked at home. Making things even more strange, the child's safety seat was no longer inside. Clues as to what happened to the two would seem to be scarce. Paula's husband was investigated at first and had been ruled out. He was a soldier and was stationed at Shaw Air Force Base in Sumter, South Carolina, at the time of Paula's disappearance. Not only did he have a rock-hard alibi, he also passed a polygraph test. Now, things would continue to grow more suspicious as Paula's roommate had allegedly been very uncooperative with authorities. When he was asked to take a polygraph test, he refused and hired a lawyer. Unfortunately, it does not seem like much has been made of this, though. Another acquaintance told authorities where they may have thought her body could be, but after searching that area, nothing was ever found but deer bones. Family members and loved ones have said it is extremely uncharacteristic for Paula to take her son and just up and leave without warning. It is also unlike her to miss work without calling in. Her parents had always kept weekly phone contact with their daughter. Paula had recently been approved for a transfer to a Sam's Club in Kissimmee, Florida. Her family was supposed to help her with the preparations for her move the week she disappeared. Paula and her son Brandon are considered endangered and have not been seen or heard from since October of 2002. If you have any information that can help further this case, please contact Valdosta Police Department at 229-242-2606. Thanks for watching this video. If you enjoyed this video, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in the algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us and hit that subscribe button, as I upload videos almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a case that you would like to suggest for a future video, be sure to comment those down below. Or if you have a more detailed recommendation, be sure to submit that at swampdweller.net. If you want to support the channel outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out the merch store. As you can see, there are all kinds of cool designs for face masks, hoodies, mugs, and t-shirts. You can also find a cool, exclusive 2020 Halloween design that will only be printed until the end of the month. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about anywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. The best part of it all is that it's absolutely free to download. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this without you guys on a daily basis. I'll see you soon with another creepy video.